Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. We just give God the glory and the honor and praise. This is Minister Counselor April Irwin. I give God the praise. We send a shout out to Pastor Barbara Burris for allowing us to come on and speak to you guys through the ministry that she has. It's been a great help to my life and everything, and we just give God the praise. And I just love Pastor Barbara Burris so much for allowing us to come on and speak to you guys, to encourage the body of Christ and to let you guys know that there is hope. God is able, and he is not going to just leave you out there and not bring you out. And so we just want to tell you guys that we love you, and God is still able. And I just want to share with you today, I know where you are, wherever you are, God bless you for going on and hearing what God has to say to me. And just want to, every time I come on, because I'm a counselor, I just always want to come in and encourage your spirit, encourage you to go a little higher in what God has called you to go in. And what was placed over your lives to go in. And at this month from August, the month of August, July, and then August, and from August on up to October, a lot of the body of Christ is dealing with, they've been praying and asking God to do something for them. And he hasn't showed up like they thought he would show up. And so they begin to get into a rut of going to church activities just because they begin to get into a routine agenda just because God hasn't showed up when they thought he should. And so they're... belief system begins to kick in like a traditional church person or a person that's so over-spiritual and over-analyzing all kinds of stuff. And so their own intuition start kicking in instead of allowing the Word of God to be that comforter, allowing God to literally come in and do surgery on their heart. They give up hope, and the body of Christ is giving up hope right now because the economy is so down. Not only the economy is so down, but people don't have jobs. And they have allowed their houses, their cars, their children, their spouses, their job, and money in the bank to become their God. And so during this time, and this month is in August of 2010, we as the body of Christ have to know that we can't give up. It's only a test, and know that it's not over. It ain't over until God said it is over. And so we as sons and daughters of Christ have to literally continue to press in, turn over your plate, and begin to press in and not give up and not quit and not worry, but know that it's all in God's hands. God has ordained each person to go through different situations for what they were called and created to do in the earth realm. And so whatever problem you may be up against or you're in right now, know that this is the best time of your life. Know that growth is coming in a time of trouble, in the time of the wilderness experience. Know that God is shaping you, molding you to what he has called you to become. And so without the trouble, you can't get to the promised land. You can't get to where God has ordained for you unless you have to go through this trouble. And as you go through the trouble and the trials and the tribulations, you have to know that God is with you. You have to know that the word is the weapon. The battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you may be a pastor, you may be a minister, you may be an intercessor, you may be a counselor, you may be a teacher, you may be a business person, you may be just a homemaker at home. Whatever you are and wherever you are right now, I sympathize with you, but know that this is the best time of your life. Know that you cannot give up, because if you give up, someone, you're standing for not only your own circumstance or situation, but you're standing for someone that is like you or that's going to come into what you're going through right now. And so I say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. And so we have to allow you, we have to have a crazy kind of faith in this season and belief in God that he will do exceedingly abundantly all that we can imagine and ask for in the name of Jesus. We can't quit. We got to stand because of what God has called us to be and for what God has allowed to happen in our lives and what we're up against or what we're going through. God says he's going to get all the glory. And so in order for God to get all the glory, you have to take the word of God and dissect it. You have to take the word of God and put in your spirit. So when obstacles come, you can say, God says in his word that I am the great I am. God says in his word that I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God says that he has called me holy to do his will. And so we have to speak life into our situation by quoting scriptures over our problem and our circumstance and our situation. And so that is what I have to share with you guys. I don't want you to give up. We can't throw in the tie. We got to stand for our household, continue to stand in the gap for our neighbors and children and grandchildren and the president and the vice president and the people and city council and the principals and the teachers and parents and the children. We got to continue to stand through prayer, stand through the word of God. And so I just come on Blog Talk today to encourage you to go a little bit deeper with Jesus Christ. Go a little bit deeper in the Holy Spirit. And so first we need to get our mind of the Spirit. Don't just do, just praying just to be praying. But the Word of God says in Jude 20, building yourself up on your most holy faith or belief, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the very word we decide to pray, which will give us what we want in Jesus. And second, we decree the word as applies to the problem through prayer. I just give you glory and honor and all the praise, Lord Jesus. And we repent of our sins. We ask that you would forgive us for all that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we have come short of the glory of God. We ask for forgiveness. Now we ask you, Lord, that you would direct our path, you would order our steps, and you would allow us to tap into the Holy of Holies through intercession and through praying and applying the word of God to our own problem and our circumstance. Allow us to have faith as the size of a mustard seed to believe that you're going to show up just when you said that you're going to show up. Allow us to not quit, but stand, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what we see and what how people treat us and what we hear. Allow us, Lord Jesus, to stand in your word, to stand through prayer. And I ask, God, that you would touch your people on the sound of my voice, wherever they may be and wherever they may go. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come in and do surgery upon their hearts to have an ear to listen and a heart to receive. We give you glory and honor and praise. We ask that you would bless Pastor Barbara Burns and allow her to go deeper too. Bless this ministry and bless me that I can go a little deeper so I can stand for your people and to win souls of the body of Christ. I give you glory and honor and praise. Today I would like to speak to you guys, and the topic is, it ain't over until God says it's over. And I'm going to be coming to you out of Ezekiel 37, the chapter 37. And I always like to give groundwork and discuss to you about Ezekiel. We give God the glory because God is orchestrating this broadcast. And if you're in your home or you're outside, you're in your church or you're in prison, you may be in an orphanage, you may be in your car, wherever you may be, I bless and I hope and pray that you would be able to hear and receive what God has to say through me. And we just give God the glory. And I like to do a little homework on each chapter of the book to try to reiterate, because if you don't tell the story, I'm going to tell you the story of Ezekiel. But I like to give you, background of the chapter of the book. And we're talking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel, he was a priest. And we're looking at, I'm a historian, so I look at the date, and it was before Christ, between 590 B.C. to 570 B.C. And basically, the book of Ezekiel, it talks about Israel in exile, the nation was restored. And Ezekiel, being that he was a priest and he becomes God's spokesperson for the people that was in exile, the people that was in bondage. And Ezekiel shares his vision with the people that God had given to him. And he reminds the people of their sins. And he's reminding them of the sins that led them to captivity. But also offering, he offers hope and he offers encouragement of restoration. And so example would be a lot of people get caught up in their sins, whatever their sins is, and they get caught up in their sins, and it leads them into captivity. It leads them into problems that they wouldn't have had if they entered into sin. But it comes, they are led into captivity, they're led into bondage, and because of the decisions of the sin. And God comes in and he sends someone here on earth. He sends an angel, a pastor, a man, or woman to speak to that person so they can be delivered, they can be restored to do what God has called them to do. And so it's so many different examples that I could share with you. And a lot of people just get caught up in sin, but God is able to come in and deliver them. And so I'm going to go on and explain a little bit about Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's vision of the storm, valley of dry bones, that's what the chapter we're talking about. And God comes in and he just does miraculous things. And Ezekiel is he really teaches on personal responsibility, and that the soul that sinned, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. So basically, he was just trying to forewarn the people that were in bondage and captivity that if you're going to go in, you do good, good things are going to come. If you do bad, bad things will come. And you just got to trust God in all things. And that's just a summary of that chapter. We're going to turn to the Holy Bible, and then I'm going to also read the New Life Bible, the translation of Ezekiel. And it talks about the valley of the dry bones. And so many people right now is caught up in the valley of the dry bones. They don't know how they're going to get out. It seems that there's no hope for them, huh? It seems that the bills are due and they don't have the money coming in. They don't know what God is going to do. They didn't lost hope. Their car, their truck doesn't work to get them around from point A to point B. But God said he has a ram in the bush. And God said, if you come to me and tell me what's going on with your circumstance and problem and trust that, trust me, I will bring you out. But I got to do some things here. I got to allow you to just trust me in all things. And so we're going to go to 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'll explain. And I can go on and so forth, but I wanted to kind of give you a basis of what I'm talking about, of what, why it ain't over until God says it's over. And so we go to the book of Ezekiel, and it reads, "The hand of God was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst," the midst of the valley, "which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley," valley, "and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and I shall live. I will lay sin upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bone came together, bone to his bone. And when he behold, lo, the sins and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and said to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and the breathe, and breath unto these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and said unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall thee know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Hallelujah, glory be to God, says the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take these one stick and write upon it for Judah, the children of Israel, his companions, then take another stick and write upon it Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, with thou not shall us what thou meanest by thee, said unto thee, thus said the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which in the hand of Ephraim and the tribe of Israel, his fellows will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And God is saying to the body of Christ, hallelujah, glory be to God. I read Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 19, and I'm going to explain what God is saying. God is saying the hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought you out of his spirit. He set you down in the center of the valley. It was full of bones. He led you around the valley, and God saw that there was very many bones, and they were very dry. And he said to you, son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, O Lord God, only you know that. He said to you, speak in my name over these bones. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Says to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God said to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. And what God is saying is that in the midst of the valley, God is there with you. In the midst of your trials and your tribulations and your sufferings, God said that he put anointing within your belly to speak and decree and declare over some things, over your circumstance, over your situations, and watch if you believe. Hallelujah. It ain't over till God says it's over. So you have to have a crazy kind of faith to believe and prophesy over yourself, prophesy over your circumstance and your situation, and know that God is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. So your faith has to kick in. Now you have to allow Hebrews 11 to kick in. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Then you got to apply the word. And it says, for 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, but not by sight. God says the fruit of the Spirit is love and is joy and is peace and is long-suffering and is gentleness and is goodness and is meekness and is temperance. Against such there is no law. So then your faith and your belief has to kick in like never before. You got to trust God in your valley and know that God is going to put it all together just like he said he would. And then if you go to Ezekiel, and it talks about the flesh, we got to allow the flesh to die out in the valley. The flesh has to die out. If you go to the 9th verse, and I read before, the 9th verse, I'm just going to summarize what I read. The 9th verse says, I'm going to go to the 8th. I'm going to summarize it a little bit. It says, and when I behold, lo, the sins and the flesh came up upon them. It came upon you. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And God is saying, he looked. You looked. And saw that parts have grown to hold them together. Flesh had grown, and they were covered with skin, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to them, speak to the breath in my name, son of man. Tell the breath, the Lord God says, come from the four winds. Oh, breathe and breathe on these dead bodies to make them come to life. God is saying he have put in your spirit to speak in his name, to say in Jesus' name, decreeing and declaring over some things. You better prophesy right now in the name of Jesus over your circumstance and your situation. And you better plead the blood of Jesus. You better use the name of God over everything. And know that God will bring life to your circumstance. Know that God will bring you out. God will deliver you. He will heal you. He will turn your situation and your circumstances around. And it would seem impossible to man. It's not. Nothing is too hard for God. So God wants you to know, in this season of the valley of dry bones, hallelujah, glory be to God, you better walk by faith. You better walk by sight. You better not lose hope. And it seems impossible for the future, but God said it ain't over till God says it's over. So the Lord God in this text of Ezekiel, the Lord asks us, he asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? He's asking you today, can you live? Yes, you can live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is saying, can you live? Oh, you may not have a bunch of money in your pocket to eat steak and potatoes. You can eat cornbread and milk. You can eat cereal and milk. But what God has done, he is teaching you how to budget. He's teaching the body of Christ how to lean and depend on him for being the source. God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And so he know there is a need. We are to not worry on what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. But we just trust God for that day. Trust God that God's going to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. If you just hold on to a grain like a size of a mustard seed, your faith has to kick in. This is a faith thing right here. I'm talking to the body of Christ. You got to believe like never before. The doctors say you got cancer. He say that you're dying internally. But God says, that's what the doctor says. But we got to apply that faith. God said that you're healed in the name of Jesus. We got to apply what the word says about sickness, what the word says about health. We got to apply the word of God to our circumstances and begin to recite those scriptures, begin to recite the word of God over our circumstances and our situation in the valley. Come on now. And so in this text, Ezekiel he sees in the valley of the dry bones, he sees that there's no possibility of the bones living or returning to life. But when things in your life seems impossible, God says that he has the final say. God says it's not over until God says it's over. He says that they say you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it because you're about to lose your house because you lost your job. God says he has the final say. It ain't over until God says it's over. So what, you got a downsize? So what, you can't eat out every day at a restaurant? So what, you can't travel out of town like you would normally do? You got a downsize. And God says that he has given us not only what we're supposed to have, but he's given us more than enough. And so a lot of times the valleys come so that we can get right there at the foot of Jesus. Because, see, when he brought all this stuff to you, all these material things, you didn't spend time talking to God. You had a job. Your children was doing fine. Your husband, your wife were doing great. You might have been preaching, teaching, prophesying, but you wasn't in tune with him around the clock. So God says, I'm going to put you in the valley. I'm going to put you in trouble so you can know who I am and know that I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not harm you. So we know that everything in the valley, this is a good place for us right now. This is a good place for some of us. It's a good place to be in the valley because the faith has to kick in. So you know you couldn't make it. You thought you was making it on your own. But God says, I'll have to put you in the valley to know that you didn't make it this far on your own. You made it because I am who I say I am. So just because things don't work like you thought it would, God has it all worked out. He's just waiting on you to get to the foot of the cross. He's waiting on your heart to do surgery, because even though you preach and you minister to other people, sometimes your heart ain't right. Sometimes these emotions of anger and disrespect arise up and rise in you from your past, from your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups and your addictions, and you don't know where it's coming from. A lot of times we say, well, the devil did this and the devil did that. A lot of times it don't be the devil. It be us, your own self. And your worst enemy is yourself. So what I'm doing is giving you tools to know that in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. He is with you. It doesn't seem that he has answered your prayer. It doesn't seem that he didn't show up when he said that he was going to show up. But God say, I'm trying to do a work in you. And a lot of times, I notice a lot of the ministers that I know of, that I'm in connection with of it at church and at the job and in the public, I they can pray, they can quote them scriptures, and they can preach, they can teach, they can minister. But the attitude is not good. The attitude is out of place. And they're still in the valley. And I say, well, you wonder why you're still in the valley. You're in the valley because what God is teaching you in the valley, you just haven't learned yet. But what God is teaching you in the valley is discipline. Not only discipline, but how to minister and how to deal with different attitudes and different behaviors of people and of your past. Because a lot of times you can be so worn out from ministering to people that you do get an attitude. So I'm speaking to the body of Christ, the people that have positions in the church and out of the church. Don't get upset that you're still in the valley. Don't get upset because God didn't show up when he said he was going to show up. You ask God to do surgery on your heart. You ask God to do surgery on your attitude and your behavior towards your valley, towards your circumstance, towards other people. Because I'm telling you, God will do exceedingly abundantly what he said he will do for the body of Christ. But that your belief system has to kick in so much that you're just crazy to enough to believe. God said that I'm gonna get what is due because I'm pressing in, because I'm a tither, because not only I'm a tither, but I'm a giver. Not only I'm a giver, I am an inspiration to somebody else going through their valley. I'm going through too, and they going through, but what I'm doing is I am giving them the word of God to apply it to their circumstances like I got to apply it to mine. And so everything that I'm telling you, I apply it to my life. I have come so far with attitude. It was a time and a place where my attitude was so bad, I couldn't even stand my own self. But God allowed trouble to come in. He'll allow the valley that you can't depend on nobody else. He allowed the valley and the wilderness experience to come so my heart could do surgery. So a lot of times I said, Lord, I need you to help me because I get upset. I get upset because different things is going on. But God is able to do what he said he's going to do. And we give God the today. We give God the praise today. We just worship him today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I am so happy that you took the time out to listen to what God is saying. It is not over. until God says it's over. God has the final say. God said, you're going to make it. God said, you got to stand in the valley instead of giving up. Don't give up. I'm not. And I expect for you not to give up because God said it ain't over. So God says it's over. You have purpose to live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. God loves you. He has so much love for you. Like Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The love of God, your God with all your heart. We as the body of Christ and the people that says they love Christ, and they have to, you have to love God so much that you become the Christ yourself. You become what God has placed inside of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment that God wants us to do. Matthew 22 tells us that. God knows everything, the beginning and the end of your life. And he loves you in spite of your decisions, in spite of you going through what you're going through in the valley. He loves you. And the deepest desire that he wants for your life is that you love him in return. Instead of trying to do it on your own, God is saying to you today, the right thing to do is make God love you back. And you love him. You love on him. And we just have to realize that God already loves us so deeply that whatever you're going through, God cares. And he knows all about it. Know that the battle is not ours. It belongs to God. And Hosea 6 says, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your love. I don't want your offering. I want you to know me, says the Lord. And God wants us to know him in spite of our circumstances, in spite of the valley of the dry bones. And in the valley of the dry bones, we have to learn how to love on the Lord. We have to learn how to seek and chase after him for direction. We have to allow the belief, hallelujah, glory be to God, the belief has to kick in like never before. And the word of God says, watch ye, stand, hallelujah, stand quickly in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily bestoweth us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:1. We give God the glory. Just want to let you know that it ain't over. Because God says it's over. I came out of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Yes, these dry bones can live and will live. If you apply the word of God, if you apply belief in Jesus. If you apply standing on his word, standing in the good times and the bad times, standing when all everything else has failed, your job has failed, your children, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your friends have failed you, God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. God is right there in the valley of the dry bones. So don't give up, believers. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand and know that it is not over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Ask God, put some worship and praise songs within your house or within your sanctuary, and ask God to allow the Holy Spirit to kick in so joy can come, so peace and rest and understanding and wisdom and conviction can come to your circumstance and over your life, because God just trying to get you to what you were called and created to do and destined to do for his will and for his kingdom and to prepare you to go to your heavenly home. We give God the praise. Wherever you may be at this moment, whatever continent, whatever state, whatever city and town you may be in, God bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray that this message, this talk, was to encourage you to stand firmly on what God has called you to do. Stand when nobody else is behind you. Stand in belief, in faith on the word. Stand when it doesn't feel good. Stand when it hurts so bad. Stand and know that God has already worked it out. It's not over until God says it's over. Stand, 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 regardless of what comes in the mail. Stand whatever the doctor says. Stand whatever the judge says in the sentences. Stand no matter how your kids is doing, what they're doing. Stand in prayer. Stand in the word of God. Stand, 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 and know that it ain't over. So God says it's over. We give God the glory. I'm going to pray with you guys, and then I got to go. But I pray that you know that God has already worked it out. I pray that you know that God is El Shaddai. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, I ask that you would touch and you would heal and you would touch and agree today. Whatever dry bones that's out there today, we plead the blood of Jesus and we bring life to it in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would move by your power and your spirit in the name of Jesus, and you would speak to those dry bones to live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. I pray that you get into a biblical-based church, you repent of your sins, and get back to the foot of the cross. This is Counselor April Irwin, and I bless you with everything. I love you guys, and I pray that you stand on what God has called you to do in Jesus' name. You guys have a good Saturday and Sunday. We give God the praise. Blessings. Blessings in the name of Jesus. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen.